Of note, new tax filing information for nonprofits by Sunny Patel, CPA, Smith Buckland. All tax-exempt organizations will soon need to file their tax returns electronically, thanks to the Taxpayer First Act, H.R. 3151, which was signed into law in July 2019. This new electronic filing will become effective for fiscal years beginning July 1, 2020. Therefore, for all BVA regional groups, this will apply to the June 30, 2020 year-end. The new law applies to any tax-exempt organization filing Form 990, Form 990-EZ, Form 990-N, and Form 990-T. For most BVA regional groups, the filing should be with the 990-N or 990-EZ filing. 990-Ns are filed for organizations that have less than $50,000 in gross receipts. If the regional group's total assets are below $500,000 and gross receipts are below $200,000, a 990-EZ will be required for electronic filing. If either has been exceeded, then Form 990 must be filed electronically. The Taxpayer First Act requires the IRS to make the Form 990 filed by tax-exempt organizations available to the public in machine-readable format as soon as feasible. The new law also requires the IRS to provide notice to tax-exempt organizations that have failed to file their Form 990, 990-EZ, 990-N, and Form 990-T for two consecutive years. The notice from the IRS must include a statement that the organization's tax-exempt status will be automatically revoked if it fails to file its return for a third consecutive year by the required return's due date. For BVA regional groups, this again should mainly refer to the 990-N or 990-EZ tax return, unless gross receipts exceed $50,000. Be sure to search the IRS's database of tax-exempt organizations at https://apps.irs.gov/app/eos/ to make sure the IRS has your organization's current address on file. This will ensure that any potential correspondence goes to the correct address. If you have questions about how the Taxpayer First Act affects your tax-exempt organization, contact our tax department here or call 800-899-4623 for help. BVA National President Dr. Thomas Zampieri stated, "I have filed the 990-EZ online and usually it takes 5 minutes because there is no itemization. Now the limit has changed to $200,000 from the old level of $50,000, so I would expect that the majority of BVA regional groups won't need to do anything more than file the 990-EZ form going forward. But the stricter time limit is now 2 years, and then they can revoke the status afterward for failure to comply." End quote. Important Veterans and Caregiver Information by Charles Reynolds. All veterans with service-connected disabilities and some authorized caregivers are now authorized to utilize base facilities. The Department of Defense and Homeland Security have been working on implementing the Purple Heart and Disabled Veterans Equal Access Act of 2018, and this is what they decided. This means that as of January 1, 2020, service-connected disabilities and some authorized caregivers will be able to use the following base facilities: base commissaries, exchanges, golf courses, bowling centers, recreational lodging, RV campgrounds, movie theaters, and more. Homeland Security and DOD had to then decide who would be authorized to utilize the facilities. The Department of Defense expanding access to military commissaries, exchanges, and recreation facilities fact sheet was created, and the following categories were granted these privileges: Purple Heart recipients, former prisoners of war, all veterans with service-connected disabilities that are rated by the Department of Veterans Affairs at 0 to 90%, and family caregivers who are authorized by the Department of Veterans Affairs Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers. Veterans must ensure that they are rated by the VA by going through the compensation and pension process with a benefits coordinator. Once they complete this process, they will be issued a Veteran Health Identification Card, or VHIC. The card will say Service Connected under the photo. This is how the commissaries and exchanges can identify that these veterans are authorized patrons. Veterans must also ensure that their family members' information and who is authorized to be their caregiver is current with the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System, or DEERS. Then the veteran and caregiver will complete the VA Form 10-10CG and send it to the Department of Veterans Affairs Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers. Once they are granted to be part of the program, the regional VA office will create a letter of authorization. With this letter, the caregiver will be able to utilize the facilities with or without the veteran. As of today, only those veteran caregivers authorized to be part of the program are those caregivers of service-connected veterans that have been injured and departed from the service after 9/11. The bases have been preparing for this for the last 3 months. To gain access to the bases, the veteran will be able to use his or her VHIC with the barcode, and the bases have updated the software to allow the barcode to read the same as a Common Access Card, or CAC, and Retired Military Card. Some bases may require the veteran to register their VHIC with the base military office so they can upload the veteran's data to read on the card readers they use at each gate. Caregivers who do not go on base with a veteran can use their authorization letter and another valid form of identification. The commissaries and exchanges have updated their systems through the Defense Commissary Agency, DECA, and DEERS, which also includes new credit card and debit card usage fees for those patrons using their VHIC card. There is a 1.9% fee for paying with credit and a 0.05% fee for paying with a card and PIN number. Patrons who use electronic benefit cards or Military Star cards will not incur a fee. Please note that only the VA and the Department of Veterans Affairs Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers have the authority to grant or deny these privileges. So, for those 3 million more veterans and caregivers who now have access to the base facilities, have fun. National Disabled Veterans Tea Tournament 2020, courtesy of Department of Veterans Affairs. A graphic accompanies this Tea Tournament announcement, which is a letter from Tea Tournament Acting Director Nick Bielner to veterans. The graphic is the logo of the annual event. At the top of the image is the text, National Disabled Veterans, each on a separate line. A rectangular portion of the image contains an artistic sketch of a fairway, an individual in the middle of a golf swing, and a large golf ball halfway down vertically in the box. In large lettering is the word Tea, T-E-E. Followed on the next line by the word tournament in smaller letters. Below the image are the dates September 13 to 18 and the location, Iowa City, Iowa. The text of the letter begins as follows. Dear veteran and family member, the Department of Veterans Affairs and DAV invites you to attend the 27th Annual National Disabled Veterans Tea Tournament, NDVTEE. This annual event promotes rehabilitation, fellowship, and camaraderie among veteran participants and will offer an introduction to the game of golf and alternative activities and sports. Participation in the NDVTEE tournament is open to male and female military service veterans with qualifying disabilities such as visual impairment, spinal cord injuries, amputations, certain neurological problems, and certain life-changing disabilities. Veterans who have currently inpatient or outpatient status at a VA medical facility will have priority. The goal of the event is to provide veterans with qualifying disabilities an opportunity to develop new skills and strengthen their self-esteem through golf. In addition to the game of golf, there's also an opportunity for veterans to be exposed to and experience a variety of rehabilitative, adaptive sports such as bowling, kayaking, horseshoes, tandem cycling, disc golf, air rifle, and horseback riding. All participants are expected to possess good mobility and independent living skills. If you're interested in this week-long event full of therapeutic adaptive sporting activities, we encourage you to fill out the application at www.tee.va.gov or contact BVA headquarters for an application and return it to the address listed. Be sure to fill the application out completely and note the following changes concerning this year's event. We need you to provide us your full SSN, date of birth, and complete name to record your participation at the event in your medical record. There is a $100 lodging commitment to attend. Checks or money orders for registration should be made out to DAV/TEE Tournament. Provide all required forms and documents. Only complete applications will be reviewed for consideration. Refunds due to a cancellation must be made 14 days prior to the event to confirm or secure that a refund will be returned. Participants are required to attend the entire week and attend scheduled events. Due to demand, you may only golf in the morning or the afternoon on Wednesday, September 16th. Non-service dogs are not allowed at the NDVTEE tournament. If an animal is brought that is not a certified service animal, you will not be allowed to participate in the tournament. Please arrange care for your non-service animal in your community and do not bring it with you to the event. There has been some confusion in the past over the difference between a companion and a volunteer. A volunteer is someone who assists the veteran during the event and has filled out a volunteer application. In most cases, they are golf buddies on the golf course. A companion is someone who pays $100 to attend a companion program. The companion program is specifically designed for spouses and caretakers of veterans. The companion does not golf with the veteran and attends a different program each day while their veteran is assisted by someone else on the golf course. The $100 goes to support the companion program events. If a volunteer or golf buddy is attending with you, they must fill out a volunteer application. Volunteer applications can be found at www.tee.va.gov. The NDVTEE tournament will be held in the Iowa City, Iowa area, September 13th to 18th, 2020. All participants will register on Sunday, September 13th. We look forward to having you as a participant, experiencing the unique and exciting challenges of this special event. Each day will be full of opportunities to meet new people and enjoy the friendly atmosphere of the area. Each evening we'll have an activity offered, with the closing banquet on Thursday, September 17th. The banquet will be an evening of camaraderie and entertainment to end this special week. I hope that you can be a part of National Disabled Veterans Tee Tournament this year. Sincerely, Nick Bielner, Acting Director, NDVTEE Tournament. Traveling Veteran Coordinator. Traveling for the winter? Call ahead to ensure seamless care, by Tim Hudak. If you are enrolled in health care with VA, you will receive the same care while traveling as you would at home. A traveling veteran coordinator will help coordinate with the alternate facility, but you need to tell your care team about your plans before you travel. It's easy. Veterans can continue their VA health care in a different location while traveling. Even if you've temporarily relocated, simply tell your VA Patient Aligned Care Team, or PACT, of your travel destinations, a temporary address, updates to phone numbers, arrival and departure dates, and specific care concerns while you are traveling. Then, a traveling veteran coordinator ensures care is coordinated per your provider's request, appointments scheduled, and eligibility are transferred to the alternate VA medical center. Prescriptions during travel should also be discussed with your care team prior to travel. Most VA medical centers have a traveling veteran coordinator. To notify VA of your upcoming travel, call your local VA facility and ask for your VA Patient Aligned Care Team, PACT. Notifying VA 4 to 6 weeks in advance of travel is preferred to ensure seamless care. Quote, traveling veteran coordinators and PACT teams work together to ensure veterans receive the best possible planned care while traveling away from their home VA, end quote, said Mallory Murray, Veterans Integrated Service Network 8 Traveling Veteran Coordinator Lead. For overseas travel, veterans are encouraged to contact the Foreign Medical Program. Also, don't forget to update your address on file if your mailing address is changing. This can be done in minutes online at va.gov. While traveling, take advantage of the United States' 400-plus national parks. Disabled veterans are eligible for a free National Park Service Lifetime Access Pass. Lori's Retirement, by Tracy Farrow, Mississippi, Louisiana Regional Group President. As time marches on, it is an exciting yet sad time here at the Biloxi Blind Rehab Center. For any members out there who have gone through our program in the last 6 years, you may remember one of our nurses, Lori Fraish. She's retiring, which is exciting for her, but sad for us because she will be sorely missed. Lori and her husband of 20 years, David, have been closely connected to veterans, as David is an Army veteran himself. Together, they have 2 children and 6 grandchildren. With all this personal history, it's no wonder she was such a great fit for us. Laurie started her nursing career in New Orleans in the late 80s. In 1992, she was selected to participate in the VA's Valor program. This very prestigious appointment started her career with VA, where, after earning her nursing degree and license, she started at the Biloxi VA working in the intensive care unit. In 1998, she moved on to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where she continued her career with VA, working in the Ambulatory Surgery Center. In 2011, she transferred back to the Biloxi VA to work as an assistant manager in the ICU. She stayed there gaining knowledge and friendship. In 2014, she wanted to try something a little different with a bit of more personal touch, and off to the BRC she went. She was surrounded by a great staff, made instant friends, and soon realized the lasting bonds she was making with the blind patients. As we looked forward to coming back and learning new things at the BRC, she looked with anticipation for us to return. That twangy Cajun voice over the intercom announcing breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or the squeaky laugh that would erupt at the corniest of jokes, are sounds that will forever echo in the halls here. On the bright side, she doesn't have any plans to move to Montana or other parts. She plans on staying here and working on her jewelry, crocheting for the grandkids, and doing her crafts. She won't be far, and I suspect that we aren't through with seeing her just yet. As she means so much to us, we also mean so much to her, and I'm sure she will pop in to say hi and check on us. So, Miss Laurie, on behalf of all blind veterans and the Blinded Veterans Association, we wish you the happiest of retirements and pray that you will always be blessed. You've left a lasting impression and will surely be missed. Valley Patriot of the Month, Gerard Boucher, U.S. Marine Corps retired, still serving brother and sister veterans, by John Cuddy of the Valley Patriot. Two photos accompany this reprinted article featuring Gerard Boucher, Secretary-Treasurer of the Massachusetts Regional Group. The first picture is a current shoulder-length picture of Gerard, attired in a sport shirt with a high collar. The second is a similar pose, but one taken some 50 years ago, in full Marine Corps uniform, including cap. Haverhill's Gerard Boucher joined the U.S. Marine Corps to avoid getting drafted by the U.S. Army. On the wall of his home sits a bronze star and three purple hearts, so he certainly picked an unusual way to avoid the draft. Talking to Gerard and his close friend Carolyn for an hour or so in his kitchen, I felt transported back to the Merrimack Valley in the 1960s. Gerard graduated from Haverhill Trade Class of 1966, found himself in Vietnam in 1967 with the 26th Marines, and is now retired from the U.S. Marines. He currently serves as the Secretary-Treasurer of the Massachusetts Regional Group of the Blinded Veterans Association. Carolyn attended Newburyport High and said she was glad she was not a young man back in the 1960s, as many of the young men in her class ended up in Vietnam. She later graduated from Smith College and was once roughed up by the Boston police during an anti-war protest. Both enjoyed 50s and 60s music in their youth and still do. Gerard, following doo-wop bands to this day, he and Carolyn recently attended a doo-wop concert together in Plaistow, New Hampshire. After he was wounded, a relationship with a blind veteran of World War II started Gerard on his lifetime journey of serving his fellow veterans. Throughout our meeting, Gerard asked me to help him spread the word of the great work of the Blinded Veterans Association. Wounded three times in Vietnam while serving with the U.S. Marines, Gerard's only concern during our recent meeting was how many blind veterans I currently know, and can I help him locate more of these men and women so he can help them lead productive lives? Not one of the veterans from any branch of service or any era that I interviewed over the last 2 years has ever boasted about their military service. Gerard is cut from the same cloth. He's focused on serving the needs of others. He took this spirit of humble service to our great nation to another level with his constant probing questions about who I knew in the veterans community and how I can get other blind veterans in touch with him so he can assist them. Barely out of his teens, he was blinded in combat in Vietnam during a mortar barrage on October 11, 1969. He recovered in the Chelsea Naval Hospital from his other wounds, but it was while there he learned that his sight would not come back. His entire focus during our meeting was engaging me to help inform the public of the work of the Blinded Veterans Association, the benefits of joining, and the organization's goals. Truly quite a hero, wounded three times defending our nation, he lives the spirit of Semper Fi, focusing on how he can do more for his fellow veterans. Not one to focus on what he cannot do, He's focused on what he can do. Gerard earned a BA from Bradford College, an MA from Thornwood in the Netherlands, and a PhD from Atlantic International University based in Hawaii. His thesis was on multicultural and social justice. This was written using JAWS speech software for the blind. He has written a book on his experiences in Vietnam and afterward, and both Gerard and I are looking for an editor and publisher for his book. Meeting with Gerard made me question what, if anything, I am doing for my fellow veterans. After attending the wake and funeral last summer of a young veteran who died suddenly, leaving behind his small children, I have become more focused on how the veterans organization I belong to, the American Legion, can help prevent us from attending more wakes and funerals of our young veterans. How many problems can be solved by two veterans meeting for a cup of coffee, or going for a hike, catching a Red Sox game, or even just having a beer together? I remember about a year ago, a local veteran was going to lose his job because he needed brake work done in his car so his car would pass the Massachusetts State Auto Inspection. And his family simply did not have the funds. Solvable problem, but if this veteran and his family cannot solve it, no car means no job. My Legion post provided some of the funds to get this repair work done. The funds were sent directly to the mechanic who did the work. Never was I prouder to be a member of the American Legion than I was hearing this story at our post's monthly meeting. A few dollars from his fellow veterans prevented a job loss that would have created even more financial problems for his family. Draycott American Legion members Bob Page, Roland Provenche, both veterans of the U.S. Air Force, and retired Draycott Veterans Services Officer Bill Zunes, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, for years have been the tip of the spear when it comes to helping veterans locally. Meeting with them over breakfast at Lowell's Cameo Diner, they asked me to encourage veterans to visit their fellow veterans at the Bedford VA, in local nursing homes or assisted living centers, or simply stopping by their house for a cup of coffee. All three understand young veterans are correctly focused on family and careers, but all three believe in strength in large numbers of veterans banding together for a common cause and ask all veterans to join the American Legion. Our challenge to all veterans from all services and all eras is to visit these two organizations online, the American Legion and the Blinded Veterans Association. Email or call their officers. Learn more about both veterans' organizations and how they are assisting veterans. If you are eligible, join either or both online as well. Further challenging our brother and sister veterans is to find some small way to assist their fellow veterans. It doesn't need to become a full or part-time job. It could be as simple as a job referral or helping with a home repair. How about taking a veteran to Muddy Waters in Methuen for a beer and a burger? Or down to Tripoli's at the beach for a slice of pizza? It doesn't take much to make a fellow Veterans Day special. With that being said, happy Veterans Day to all. The following bulletin entry has again been highlighted with a gray shaded background. There are no graphics, photos, or other illustrations. Tribute to a True Hero by Michael Lewis, Alabama Regional Group. Terry N. King, July 18, 1940 to July 2, 2019. As we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Blinded Veterans Association, I would like to take time out to remember and honor a true patriot. Terry King was a totally blind Vietnam-era veteran who passed away after battling Lou Gehrig's disease. He was a lifetime member of the Blinded Veterans Association for over 50 years and served as the president of the Florida Regional Group for more than 12 years. Terry also served on the Florida Rehabilitation Council for the Blind and was one of the original founders of the Lighthouse of Southwest Florida, Inc. He was a leader, patriot, and an advocate for all blinded veterans and was one of the kindest and most compassionate individuals I've ever had the honor and pleasure of knowing. His leadership, dedication, and diligence should be held up as an example for others to try and emulate. Many people will walk in and out of your life, but only true friends will leave footprints in your heart. Terry King is a true hero who left footprints in my heart, which has made me a better person. May peace be with you, Terry.